We ran a multi-year effort using 17 high-level defense and national security experts to come up with a broad U.S. defense strategy. In the end, what they settled on was what they called strategic agility, and came up with 27 recommendations for how to reshape the Pentagon to achieve those. We were fortunate enough to be funded by the Peter G. Peterson Foundation, who really cared about getting the right answer for the future. Now, I don't think that our report directly caused it, but it's clear the Air Force is touching in on these strains that we can all see. Declining defense budget, and yet all of these responsibilities for the U.S. around the world require something, and agility seems like the right thing to offer an answer. And they've put out a new document, a document solely focused on the Air Force. They're not trying to overstep their bounds, but try to reshape the Air Force and make sure it's ready for the future.
Now, you and Barry wrote today in Breaking Defense that this report that you issued called Strategic Agility documents the strengths and limitations of U.S. force in the 21st century. And I imagine that limitations part was the most maybe delicate for you and your colleagues to explore and write about, because that's the part of U.S. power projection that a lot of people either tend to dance around or ignore altogether.
Well, it's the role, obviously, we in a think tank can best play in the conversation, and I have to commend the bravery of all the 17 members, who included former retired military, former senior officials in the Defense Department, who were willing to look at this. With the pressures of the budget coming, they recognized we need to be sure we have what we can do things with, and not just try to do everything, believe that we have this panacea of the military for all problems in the world.
This is the first time, as we look at all of these issues, I think, Russell, since the United States became a superpower in the early part of the 20th century, that we're faced with the concept of thinking about what can't we do? What will we not be able to get to in the event that the world spirals less in control or completely out of control, as for very long we didn't suspect it could, but now that it appears that it potentially could sometime in the next half century. What does that mean for trying to plan a strategy and therefore plan what you need personnel-wise, resource-wise, weapons-wise to execute that strategy?
It's obviously very challenging, and I'm not sure the underlying world is really all that different. The Chief of Staff of the Army, General John Wickham, in 1983 was already talking about the greatest challenge the Army faced was the uncertainty. Well, that was still in the height of the Cold War. What the Cold War gave us was a single, clear, and existential threat, something that made defense planning simpler. Probably wasn't as simple at the time as we remember it now, but it was simpler. And today, there isn't that single threat that shapes and drives the whole defense process and defense establishment. So instead, how do you respond to all these different things? In our piece, we explicitly say that there's a complicated world out there. There's a crisis in Iraq. There's the Palestine-Israel war going on. We've got Ukraine. We have China being aggressive. All of those are violent conflicts. All of those probably require some part of military response. Yet none of the responses are the same things. How do you go about building the right military and the right defense establishment to take on that very diverse and all challenging topic?
You and Barry write eloquently, I think, about the capability of the Air Force, what strategic agility in your mind can mean to that capability. And then you note accurately, I believe, none of these capabilities are limited to just the Air Force. The Navy, Army, and Marines all have the complementary or alternative ability to do much the same. In this environment, what makes the Air Force unique, and what makes the what marks the significance of the strategy that we're seeing today, and what it might mean in the context of the full force?
Well, the Air Force is particularly unique because it embodies so many of the new capabilities. You know, this dominant U.S. military superiority is really a very recent thing. It's really only of the last 20 years. And that's not just because of the demise of the Soviet Union. It's because the investments that we have made in defense for so many years have paid off. And we have this unbelievable situational awareness, and we have this unbelievable ability to strike incredibly precisely, and we have this global reach. Well, the Air Force correctly prides itself on providing both that awareness, that reach, and that strike all in one service.
Russell Rumbaugh, the Stimson Center, and his colleague Barry Blechman writing on Breaking Defense today, the title, Strategic Agility Behind the Air Force's New 30-Year Plan. It's an old Defense Department saw that the farther out you get, the worse the predictions get. We see in the Quadrennial Defense Review, if we go back and look at the 2010 QDR and back through history, we see that not only did the four-year strategy not hold up, many of those strategies were obliterated 6 months, a year, 2 years into the term of each QDR. To that point, then, what's the benefit of looking 20, 30 years out, even broadly conceptually, about what one force or another may be able to do or may need to do?
Well, the reality is, although the world is a constantly changing place, we are making decisions now that will have impacts in 30 years. The conventional military superiority we enjoy today wasn't something we decided to invest in 2005. That was something we've been investing in for decades. And the Air Force bears that, or the Air Force, along with its sister services, bears that responsibility to think in the long term. They have to be thinking in decades. Because we're not going to see the next generation bomber show up in the next couple of years. The F-35 has been a product of 25 years already, not counting the antecedent programs that rolled it in. They have to be thinking in those terms, but how do you think in those terms and still acknowledge that the world is a shifting place?
The mind blower, I think, in the piece in Breaking Defense today, Russell, is this. You and Barry write, embracing strategic agility requires not having an answer for everything, but rather admitting these crises are problems to be managed, not resolved. My sense is that that is really difficult for anybody who's a control freak to try to live with.
That's certainly true. I think we all experience that in our own lives, and it becomes even harder when you start talking about the lone superpower called the United States. The frank answer is the first thing we have to start with is we should not be Cassandras here. The U.S. is a global power. It is a still very rich and militarily endowed state, and we have intervened in the world, and hopefully for the better. To say that we just should pack up and go home ignores the issue. The more difficult task is to say, well, where can we make a positive difference? Where do we need to try a different tool, something other than the military tool? And where do we need to just go ahead and let the world unfold?
I mentioned as you came on the program today, Russell, that Secretary James and General Welsh rolling the strategy out today. So we are learning the details of it together and will throughout the next several days and weeks. What will be the points that you will look to see whether or to what degree the concepts that you and your team wrote about are included here and how they're being included?
Well, it's a great point, and of course, it's much easier for us as just disinterested observers to talk about the hard facts than it is for people who are leading an organization of 300,000 people and motivating them to put their lives on their life on the line for their country. So you're not going to get in a document like this all of the negative side, all of the things we can't do. The question is, what to look for is, within that agility, are there choices being made? Are there places where, hey, we're going to try to do our best, but we can't promise everything? And that can be done, and I think in the strategy we do see them trying to chart a course for the future.